How many of y'all have learned that you can be a follower of Jesus and still face loss and suffering? How many of y'all have learned that, right? Johnny Erickson Tada was a vibrant teenager and a committed Christian when at age 17, a diving accident left her quadriplegic. She prayed fervently for healing and believed that Jesus could restore her body. But the healing never came. Instead, she entered decades of physical pain and dependence on others, depression, and later even a battle with stage 4 cancer. Yet Joni didn't walk away from Jesus. She followed him more deeply, and she learned to worship from a wheelchair and to testify while suffering and to speak honestly about unanswered prayers. Her life has become a witness that faith does not prevent sorrow, but it does transform it. And she brought both her belief and her grief to Jesus, and she discovered that Jesus' presence was more sustaining than immediate relief. Johnny Erickson Tada said, "My weakness, that is my quadriplegia, is my greatest asset because it forces me into the arms of Christ every single morning when I get up." Now, as I read those words, I'm convicted. I look at that type of faith and I see somebody that is doing something that I can't imagine being able to do. And as we continue the Jesus series, season 12, we're going to be looking at a family, two sisters and a brother, that were great friends with Jesus. They were close with Jesus. They experienced that sweetness of being in relationship with him, but they also suffered great loss and grief. And their suffering forced them into the arms of their Savior. The town of Bethany was not far from Jerusalem, and there we find Jesus being welcomed into the house of a family named Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, sisters and a brother. Do you ever feel so different from your siblings, right? I feel that way about my three brothers. I feel like I couldn't be more different, but I know if you saw us all standing here talking, you would say, man, they look exactly alike. They talk exactly alike. But here we see these brothers and sisters, especially Mary and Martha. They were so alike and yet so very different. And both are fascinated and drawn to Jesus, and both want to serve him, but they do it in a different way. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, if you want to turn there, we're going to be there all morning. We'll read a bunch of verses. There's a Bible there in front of you. You can open the app and find them in there as well. Give it up. TJ, yeah. Hey, you don't ever see the stuff behind the scenes that people like him do, and it is a great help to have somebody, and really there's a whole bunch of them like that, that will just say, Pastor Phil, what can we do? How can we help you? And it really is such an amazing thing. So thank you, TJ. Verse 38, Luke chapter 10. At first, I was like, man, someone's Bible is loud as they turn it into the... Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Now, some people are gifted at just, it seems that way. They're like a Martha Stewart, right? And they just seem like they're so good at hospitality and welcoming people into their homes and not having any anxiety or any stress about it. That's not me. Tori will ask me to do something simple like sweep the floor, and I'll find something super weird to do, like polishing the light bulbs, something no one would ever notice. But here we see in this passage that Martha is running around and she's distracted, but she's serving. But she also is neglecting her guest, the Son of God. She's also a little annoyed at her sister that's just there sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him teach. And serving people is wonderful. The Bible tells us that doing something as small as handing out a drink of water in the name of Jesus will provide us a blessing. And serving people certainly wasn't wrong. But neglecting Jesus to make ourselves busy with work misses the whole point. Luke 10 goes on. You read this with me in verse 40. Throw that verse up there. You read it with me. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Martha's running around, worried about all kinds of lesser important things. But Mary understood how important it was to stop and sit at the feet of Jesus. Something that might not jump out to you in this culture is it would have been unusual for a woman, even bold for a woman, to sit and listen to a man teach. That just wasn't done. It was out of the cultural norms. But there she was, listening and learning, a student of the master. And Jesus didn't balk at her boldness. He says she gets it. And after this visit from Jesus is over, time passes, and Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus, gets sick. And Jesus knew and loved Lazarus. So the sisters called for Jesus to come and help, and they believed that Jesus could miraculously do something to help their precious brother. In chapter 11, it goes on. It says, so the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days in the place where he was. Mary and Martha urged Jesus to come quickly, but Jesus said this illness would not lead to death. And it was a strange thing when these people heard that Lazarus died, right? They're like, but Jesus, you just said that it wasn't going to happen. And why did you wait 2 extra days before going to be with your sick friend? But eventually, Jesus was ready to go to Judea, and despite the fact that his enemies were ready to stone him if they could find him, and going close to Jerusalem would seem like a bad idea. Verse 11, after saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. And the disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest in sleep. And then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. This must have been a challenging time for the followers of Jesus when illness did, in fact, see Lazarus die. I thought Jesus said that this wouldn't happen. It wouldn't lead to death. But the story wasn't over. Jesus was going to show them something. And there was a belief in these days that a spirit of a person stuck around for 3 days just in case of resuscitation. So Jesus timed it that he showed up on the fourth day. In verse 17, it says, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Last time we saw Martha, she was distracted in the house preparing for her guest. But this time, she pushes through the mourners and she ran out and met Jesus and was laser focused on Jesus. Last time she was concerned with Mary not doing anything. But this time she's upset with Jesus for not doing anything. He could have come earlier. He could have stopped all this pain. He could have saved Lazarus. But Lazarus was long dead now, 4 days. And even if Jesus had come immediately, by the time he would have gotten there, Lazarus would have already been dead. But as Martha brought her grief to God, she shows off an immense faith. And she says, I believe you can still, even now, do something to save Lazarus. She believed that Jesus could change her situation. Lazarus had been dead for a while. In their mind, even his spirit had given up and gone on home to heaven. But Martha's faith is strong. And Martha questions his timing, but still recognizes that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection in the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Jesus told her that her brother would indeed rise again, but Martha's confused and thinks he means in the next life, and she isn't really interested in talking about theology and eschatology right now. Her brother's in that tomb right over there. But Jesus tells her that he has the power to raise him, and with her belief, he will do it. So she says, yes, she believes, and she knows that he is the Messiah, the Son of God, the resurrection and the life. Martha allows hope to creep in, and she runs to get her sister. In verse 28, when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here, and he is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now, when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying, Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. So Jesus was moved by these sisters' love and faith, and he asked to see the tomb, and he was weeping, and perhaps Jesus wanted to go and pay his respects. And the Jews around are confused, knowing that if he opened the eyes of the blind, surely he could have saved Lazarus. Why did he come now when it was too late? And Jesus wept as he knew what was going to happen. He was still human and still moved by sorrow because death is always sad. And Jesus is moved and he feels compassion and he feels that sorrow. Mary and Martha were faithful believers and they had served and worshiped, but this pain and sorrow still happened. And it was still heavy and sad. So as Jesus looks at Lazarus' tomb, he knew that in 6 days, he himself would be in a tomb just like it, wrapped in his own burial clothes with a stone covering the door. Verse 38, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I knew that you always hear me. But I said this as an account for the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, and his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Now, Jesus and God are one, but Jesus still models prayer here for us. And while he walked this earth, he showed us how to submit to the will of the Father. And all that sorrow that they had just felt turns into astonishment. And Jesus tells them to roll the stone away. And that took faith. And he cries out with a loud voice for his friend to come out. And hopping along like a mummy wrapped in his grave clothes, Lazarus is alive. Here's a mosaic from around 560 in a church in Ravenna, Italy, 1,500 miles away from the city of Bethany. Many people saw this, and Jesus, at this point in his ministry, was no longer keeping his power a secret. In fact, this event causes such a stir that the chief priests not only begin to plot to kill Jesus, but also to kill Lazarus. What a jerk move, right? Can you imagine the pride that you must have, the certainty that you are right, so much that you try to kill a man that was just risen from the dead? Hasn't he been through enough? But you can imagine Mary and Martha are ecstatic, just blown away that their brother is back. And this is what motivates them in the next chapter to have Jesus back over for dinner. And this time, Lazarus is there at the table. I imagine he's still starving to death, right? After not eating for those 4 days. Mary wants to express her devotion and her thanks to Jesus. So she goes and she gets expensive perfume, and Mary washed Jesus' feet. She gets down in front of him and washed his feet with her hair in the perfume. Perfume was expensive. This was sacrificial worship. Now, the disciple Judas was appalled that this perfume was used in worship instead of sold. And he acted like he cared about the poor, but this was just a cover because he liked to skim money out of the money bag. And Jesus corrects Jesus, saying, Jesus corrects Judas, saying that there's a purpose to this perfuming of him. There is a reason. There was a lot that Judas didn't understand. Jesus encourages Mary to save the rest for his burial. I'm sure they didn't understand that that was only a few days away. Mary of Bethany was a special lady, and you first find her sitting at the feet of Jesus learning. And then when tragedy struck, she threw herself down at the feet of Jesus. And then here you see her anointing Jesus' feet in worship and thankfulness. In her ups and downs, Mary could be found at the feet of Jesus. Just like Johnny Erickson Tata, she let her weakness force her closer and closer to Jesus. It's not scripture, but tradition holds that Mary and Martha and Lazarus end up in Ephesus, or even as far as France, spreading the gospel together. And you got to imagine that if anyone remained faithful as a family to Jesus, it was this family. You can also imagine the jokes that are passed between brothers and sisters as Mary and Martha walk into Lazarus' room and says, "It smells like something died in here," right? I think you'd milk that one for a long time, right? But Mary and Martha both had great faith. But even though they loved and cared for and served Jesus, they still faced tragedy and sorrow. Why? Because the world is broken. But they also got to see Jesus do something so very special and powerful. And they learned very quickly that Jesus cared about them. He was with them in the sorrow. He wept with them. He knew what they were going through. He did not leave them alone. And we can learn so much from this family. Time spent with Jesus is more important than busyness, even in his name. Faithfulness to God doesn't always shield us from sorrow. Even when there are delays, it doesn't mean that God is indifferent. And ultimately, we can trust that our resurrection hope is bigger than this life. See, Lazarus would die again. He was raised from the dead, but he would die again. But the resurrection of Jesus points us to something even greater. A day is coming when the tomb of every believer will be emptied forever. No more tears, no more death, no more parting over there. We have a hope that is greater than Lazarus' hope. And until then, we do live in a broken world, but we have a living Savior. And that is enough to keep going. I'd love to tell you that if you had enough faith, you wouldn't come to church on a Sunday morning and your water would be out and then the baptismal scald you. And then everything would go good and there'd never be anything that would go wrong. And that you'd never face real, actual sorrow. That simply isn't true. This world is broken. It's not working right. Sin knocked it off its kilter. But one day we will all be raised to a new body and a new heaven and a new earth. And that is no less miraculous than the raising of Lazarus. But until then, don't get distracted. Don't lose hope. Daily find your way, like Mary, back to the feet of Jesus. When you have a lot of faith or when your faith is empty. When things are going good, which is actually the harder time to follow Jesus because we think we're okay without him. But also when things are hurting. And then things are bad. And there's no other way to describe it than sorrow. Let that all force you to the feet of Jesus. When you're confused, when you're grieving, when you're tempted, take all your burdens and sorrows of this life and find your way to the feet of Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we take some time at the feet of Jesus. You might have struggles, you might have sorrows, you might have problems that you don't know how you are going to maneuver. Financial, relational. You can take those things to Jesus. Let those things push you to the feet of Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're not yet a follower of Jesus. You can make that choice today, once and for all. You could put your faith and trust in what he did on the cross to save you, to raise you back to life, to restore you like you were, like all men were before the fall, back to Eden, where we can walk in relation with our God. You could put your faith and trust in Jesus as the only means to save you, what he did on the cross. See, 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked this earth and he lived a perfect and a holy life and he laid down his life in sacrificial loss in our place. But he didn't stay dead. He came out of that tomb on the third day and he rose from the dead, bringing our salvation with him. And you can put your faith and trust in him today. You can realize that you're a sinner. And that you've broken God's law and you've hurt the people around you. And you can realize that Jesus paid the price of your sin. And you can put your faith and trust in him as the only means to save you. Not good works or church membership or any of those things. But you can put your faith in Jesus Christ. And you can call out to him. The words aren't important. You could call out from your heart, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know because of my sin that I'm separated from you, but God, forgive me. I accept the gift of Jesus and what he did on the cross to save me." We're going to stand. The band's going to play. And if you want someone to come down and pray over you, your church family, you come now. Whether it's, no matter what it is that you're going through. But if you made that choice, or you make it here in a minute, to be a follower of Jesus, you write that on your connection card and let us know that you made that choice.